like to call this April 3rd, 2012 Monroe City Council meeting to order and ask that roll call be taken, if you would, please. Edie?
Councilperson Gary?
Here.
Cutterback?
Here.
Williams?
Here.
Camp?
Present.
Davis?
Present.
Gamble?
Here.
Hanford?
Here.
Please join me for the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we move into comments from citizens, I'd like to ask if we might indulge council to move the two executive sessions that are scheduled for later in the agenda to just after the consent agenda. That way that would allow us to have Jane to participate and get home. Just get a little bit of a drive. That's all right, council. Hearing none. Okay, good. Thank you. All right, with that said, we will go into or go to the portion of the meeting which allows for comments from citizens to speak to the city council on any issue except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. You're welcome to address the council on any other subject. Please limit your time to 5 minutes, and we'd like to ask that you provide your name and address for the record. Do you have a few signed up here this evening, first of which is Mr. Michael Hanford.
Michael Hanford, 225 South Lewis Street, Monroe is our mailing address. And the city council has asked for public input on this issue of allowing cannabis to be grown in the city and in the city limits. And I would just discourage that with all sensitivity and compassion for people who are suffering and sense a need for that. At the same time, I think the enforcement issue of how to enforce a system that's established to grow, as I've read the description of and envision how that would come down, it just seems not a good thing to do at this time. Things need to be worked out. And hopefully people who sense a need for that would be able to be served with some other legalized medicine. My own personal experience with working in the 1960s with heroin addicts to a measure in downtown Seattle, all I can say is all of the heroin addicts that I knew at that time, which probably numbered around 30, all of them pointed back in their own lives and in all the lives that they knew of, that the door to heroin use and other drug abuse was for them marijuana. And so I just wanted to leave that with you and just weigh in and discourage that from happening in Monroe. And thank you for all you're doing. We're constantly praying for you as city council for great wisdom in all you're doing. You're leading in a time when we desperately need leadership, and it's the decisions you have to make are, wow. We pray for you, and thank you for serving. God bless you.
Thank you. Okay, next up, Josh Decker.
Hello, guys. My name is Josh Decker. I live up on Horizon Way, 20570 Horizon Way, Monroe, Washington, 98272. And I would like to address you guys on the issue of the wakeboarding park. I don't think it's an issue. I think it's actually great. I think it's something that Monroe needs and that the youth of Monroe desperately need. There's not really an output for youth in Monroe other than the movie theater and the skate park. And most of the kids I see at the skate park, they're smoking a cigarette. So I think, you know, it's kind of hard to smoke a cigarette when you're wakeboarding in water. But other than that, I think that I can represent anyone at Cascade Church, the youth leader and all the youth group there. They are all for it. A lot of them couldn't make it here tonight, but I can vouch and say that everyone that I've talked to in Monroe that's my age, that's anywhere from 15 to 25, they are all for it. They want it, they need it, and they need something to do here in Monroe. As far as how much noise it's going to make, it's not going to make that much noise. Probably, you know, you'll hear the wakeboards going across the water, and that's about it. As far as canoeing, that lake is huge. There's going to be tons of area to do whatever you want to do in that lake. Fishing, it's not going to be a problem. Everything that I've heard about it so far, it looks like a great thing for Monroe, and I think we need it. All the businesses that are on Frylands Boulevard, I think, would greatly benefit from having that type of activity going on, and it's going to bring a lot of people to Monroe that otherwise wouldn't spend money in Monroe. So, you know, just coming for, you know, for like tourism purposes and things like that. I think it's a great opportunity, and I think we need it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. April Gerke. Mercy.
Hello, my name is April Gerke, and I live on 16570 155th Street, Monroe, 9272. So I am also stating that I think we need to put out the wakeboard park. I have lived here probably a year and a half or maybe 2 years, but I work at Burger Madness across from Lake Ty, and I think it would be definitely a good thing to have for business speaking, that I'm in the business there, and also the people around us and everyone that's closer, and, you know, just to bring people and make people that haven't even been to the businesses, like, there's only, say, like, one Burger Madness in Monroe, and one in Seattle, and that's it, like, and people have never even heard of it, and other businesses, too, and stuff, so, and especially we have a new salon there, and that's just opening, you know, like, just hope for people that have business and to keep it running, keep it up and running, and also for just families, you know, just a time to get together and have fun, and to for that unity and that relationship. I think it would definitely be fun for them and just build their relationships with each other, because, you know, a lot of time families are cooped up in their house and they're just doing whatever, and I think it'd be great to get out in the weather, to breathe the air, and just, you know, enjoy that. So, yeah, I'm for the wakeboarding thing. Thank you.
Thank you. That's all that I have who have signed up this evening to speak before council, but as always, I'd like to open up to the audience to address city council. If you would, your name and address for the record.
My name is Joel Phillips. I live at 55 Circle Drive, and I am for the wakeboard park. On a safety issue, mostly, because it's a lot more easier to get swept away in a current down at the river than at a lake. You can't do that. And plus, there's going to be, to my understanding, a lot of lifeguards, maybe four of them, posted around the lake. So that's why I'm for the wakeboard park. And thanks.
Thank you. Thanks.
Good evening. Jeff Rasmussen, 16655 150th Street Southeast. First of all, I just want to start off by thanking council and the mayor, those that I've been able to connect with and talk with. There's a few of you we're still working to connect, and I know we're going to hear shortly, so I really do appreciate the one-on-ones. Hearing your perspective has been great. Hopefully you find that my perspective is valuable as well. And it is on all topics, you know, whether it be wakeboarding, North Kelsey, whatever. It's about our community, and this is really what it's all about, is our community. You know, tonight I do want to address specifically the wakeboarding park. I guess we'll continue on the theme here. In regards to the wakeboarding park, the thing that we've got to understand is it's one proposal that we've received and we've had a chance to review. And keep that in mind, and let me tell you, my background is I've got over 12 years of retail leadership. And one of the things I pride myself on within my leadership is my employee retention. And one of the key pieces of that is when I do hire, I set the expectations up front, and I look for people that can meet those expectations. And when I do interview people, I always try to make sure I'm interviewing multiple people. Even if there's one person that comes to me and meets all the expectations, maybe even exceeds the expectations, I want to interview someone else. Just something to compare to. Maybe I'm missing out on something. I don't know. But I always want to interview multiple people. You know, the same thing really needs to go with this cable park proposal. Again, we've only gotten one proposal. Just one. That's all we know. And for many of us, we've never been to a cable park. We've seen it. We've seen the presentations. We've seen videos. We've done research. We know what it looks like. But what else is out there? What else would fit the 2008 park plan that we adopted? There's a lot of things out there that we can think of. But why not give it the opportunity for those things to come forward? Why not give it the opportunity for more things to come to Lake Tai instead of exclusively a cable park? Now, don't get me wrong, folks. A cable park could be great in Monroe. I've said that from the very beginning. A cable park could be great in Monroe. And I'll continue saying it. But maybe not Lake Tai. The uses that are currently there are great uses that we already have. Putting a cable park there could very well limit the uses to come to the future. It could limit those specifically to wakeboarding. That's a huge concern. I have no doubt that the Parks Department is doing a great job at bringing in events which fill the seats in all those businesses along Frylands. There's proof of that. You know, why not give them the opportunity to continue that with the events, fill the seats in those businesses, bring attention to our park, but not exclusively to a cable park. Let's put a cable park in Monroe, just not Lake Tai. That's all I'm saying. And that's really what I want to get through to everyone, is with the opposition of the cable park, not Lake Tai. Let's get it into Monroe somewhere. And I think if you were to talk to many of the people that are opposing the Lake Tai project, they would probably tell you the same thing. They would welcome a cable park as well, just not Lake Tai. So, again, I do appreciate the conversations that we've had, and I do look forward to working with you going forward. So, thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff.
Is there anyone else in the audience who'd like to address council at this time? No? Okay, well, thank you to those who spoke on this evening. Okay, with that said, then we'll move on in the agenda to the consent agenda. You want to pull?
I would like to pull 2A from the bills.
Okay. We shall pull 2A from the bills. All right, thank you. With that, anything else to be pulled this evening? And I'd like to entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda minus 2A.
So moved.
Second.
All right, motion has been made by Councilmember Cuddeback and seconded by Councilmember Williams. Sorry. To approve the consent agenda minus 2A. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, motion passed, 7-0. And Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, each time I'd like to recuse myself from voting on the bill, since there is a bill that is to the corporation that I work for.
Okay, and let the record show that Councilmember Gamble is leaving the council chambers.
Yeah.
All right. Do we have a motion to approve consent agenda item 2A?
So moved.
Second.
And motion's been made by Councilmember Camp and seconded by Councilmember Hamford to approve consent agenda item 2A. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, motion passed 6-0. And if we could have somebody. While he's coming in, we are going to go into executive session. We have two needs for executive session this evening, and we'll have the city attorney express the reasons for them at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Pursuant to RCW 4230.110.1I and pursuant to RCW 4230.110.1C, the council will then convene an executive session for the purpose of discussing potential litigation and legal risk with legal counsel, and to consider the minimum price at which real estate will be offered for sale or lease. The executive session will last approximately,
40 minutes.
40 minutes, after which the council may take action in open session when it reconvenes.
All right, very good. Thank you. With that said, then, we will go into executive session for approximately 40 minutes. Thank you to members of the audience for your patience. We'll now proceed with the agenda. First item on this evening's agenda under new business is the council review of North Kelsey and Downtown Comprehensive Plan Amendment. And Paul.
Mayor, I'll offer a very brief update. Staff and the planning commission, we've moved this application forward pretty well, and we're on track to bring it on to the commission on April 23rd. So we are removing the North Kelsey plan and the downtown plan from the comprehensive plan, as you remember, and what we're working on now is replacing that with new goals and objectives that specifically address North Kelsey and downtown in policy language in the comp plan. Your report you got to this meeting outlines where we are in crafting North Kelsey goals. And we simply took the four or five or six goals that were in the North Kelsey plan and rewrote them as policies to put back in the comp plan, because North Kelsey already has a presence in the comp plan. Downtown, we're starting from scratch. In terms of trying to craft a goal and policies that puts a good presence for each of those plans back in the town plan. So that's where we're at. But that meeting tomorrow downtown to talk about some of these downtown materials. But we're pretty well there with the commission on the North Kelsey replacement in the town plan. I'd be happy to give you a little more detail on any part of it, or take any questions. Mayor, I'll throw it back to you.
Any questions for, let's see, I'm trying to pull up, and it's not working.
Takes a while.
Big while. Yeah. Since you have it open, Mr. Williams, any Councilmember Williams, any questions or any thoughts for Mr. Rebelka? I see no lights, so I was just going to throw that out. Okay, there we go.
Not one question on 118 pages.
All right. Okay. Well, I think with that said, then your council and myself charge ahead.
Just run the right track.
Forge forward. All right. Okay, easy enough. Thank you very much. And moving on then to item number two, lift the hiring freeze and authorize filling two seasonal parks maintenance positions. Mr. Farrell.
Thank you. Council in cover sheet described that the losses in maintenance staffing that we've experienced. And from 2011 to 2012, we experienced another full-time loss. So I'm requesting either two 3-month seasonal positions or 1 4-month. And my idea with putting those two out there, not only the cost difference, but the 2 3-month positions could be spread out a little bit farther, and they also can be combined where you have some overlap, so you kind of double up people. And my point is at this point of the season, we're a 7-day-a-week operation, and the coverage with one less body now, there's a lot more strain on the weekday and the weekend coverage. I noted in the cover sheet here also that, you know, we're seeking and we do receive some volunteerism, so continue to reach out and seek more of that. I didn't note it here, but we are going to be having Department of Corrections workers working several work days for us this year. We didn't have them last year, but we're bringing them back this year. So we're doing that approach as well. I was hoping Diane might be here because I also consulted with Diane Nelson, the finance director, about, well, what's the budget situation? And what she informed me last week was that, you know, revenues are flat, which means they're not up and they're not down, they're flat. And so then I asked, you know, well, where would something like this come out of? And so, and she answered that it would be that undesignated fund balance. So I'm happy to answer questions from council.
Certainly, and the undesignated fund balances for your department, there are some undesignated funds due to the fact that we had an employee, we were down one employee from last year. That was part of the budget for this year.
Well, I'm not going to say no, but I know that it's general fund. So, you know, the undesignated fund balance, if it's been lumped together, if it's, you know, I'm assuming that that contributes to that undesignated fund balance.
Well, you had an employee budgeted for this year, but that employee, we do not have that position filled.
I don't believe that we budgeted that full-time position in 2012's budget. I may be wrong.
Yeah, City Administrator Bradley.
We had an employee that is no longer employed here that was budgeted through this whole year.
In a different department, I'm sorry.
In the same department.
In parks.
Okay, my mistake. I'm in error. So.
And that was the money that was coming out of the undesignated fund, which I spoke to.
It was included in the parks budget for this budget cycle. That employee no longer works here.
And so that's what I thought. That is the money that is in that designated fund balance. Yes. Councilmember Gill.
So that, I had two things. One was, when you go on that right there, so it's the one that was approved last year to come out of the undesignated off of the vote, correct? Is that what I'm hearing?
And that's currently not filled.
Correct.
Is what I thought. I just heard that.
Yes, we had one.
There was a vote in the, what was it, November, December time frame to fund parks
position. One park position out of the undesignated. Yeah.
Is that what you're referring to?
We're going to have to check with Diane on that.
Yeah.
Because how many did we bring back? There was potential for 3 layoffs.
Yes, and 2 of them.
2 of them came back?
Yes, or were saved, yeah.
Were saved. Was one of those, yes, that's right, 2 of them were saved. One of those was paid out of the unfunded.
We had a reduction in force of 1 employee. So then that was...
But wasn't that intentional? I thought that was intentional at that time.
To find out.
I thought council said, and we won't refill that one, if I'm remembering correctly. No.
Yes, we were not going to fill the third position.
Right. So then that would not be budgeted. We can check. I mean, that's... I had another question on that. You know, Mike, I saw in here the question I would have is that you're a 7-day operation, we're strained, and I get that. You got to meet the demands. Are you going to cover it with overtime? Is that what we're I don't see in here, is there an impact to the budget from an overtime perspective?
Well, yes, that's part of what will happen. And is happening, but yeah, that will happen.
Okay, so
there will be some overtime. And then another part of the equation is that not having that manpower during the week and on the weekends is that we may fail, you know, in providing the service, not only just for the public in general, but also for these events and also these reserve fields and shelters, parties, that sort of stuff. So we may experience some refunds of fees, that sort of stuff.
Because when I look at...
we had that happen a couple times last year.
That, looking at your impact to the budget, and as you're presenting two options here, I guess the piece that I would like to see is what do you anticipate from a expense perspective? If we don't take action in this, you know, seasonal type thing,
sure.
What's the rev? What are we going to incur from an overtime perspective?
Okay.
Or not get done.
Right.
And what are we open to from that perspective on, you know, some of the contracts that we may have with what you're speaking of? You say we'd have to pay them back if we didn't hit a certain level. Is that what I just heard?
Yeah, we would have to refund fees for whether it's shelters or fields, that sort of thing. So if we're not able to provide the service, which we did have, we had that happen a couple of instances, like I said, last year, with they were shelters.
Okay, that I would be interested
in the coverage
to see that. That brings a whole different context than just a straight hit to the budget of 15.5 and 9.964. If you have those expenses to take into the equation,
yeah,
but you know, I guess the way I look at those, yeah, those are going to happen.
And it'd be obviously a fraction of that expense, but it'd be enough to quantify. So.
That's right. Thanks.
Councilmember Pettibat.
Thank you. I was going to suggest maybe if it wouldn't, you know, put your department back too much, that we put this off for 1 week and kind of bring the financial status of where we're at next week. You know, I remember in the budget talks, you know, we kept two of the positions, if I remember, and then a position that had been vacated, we didn't fill. And then we said, we'll look at seasonal work to help get through the summer months. And that's what we're doing now. But I also remember getting a memo from Diane saying we might not get the liquor money in the summer. There's consequences there. There's some other things. So I think if we can kind of bring back the finances and what departments look like, and $15,000 for... you know, the two positions make sense to me. I think there would be consequences if we don't fill that, but I'd like to get a better sense of exactly where we're at financially and where the money comes from and all that. So, Mike, would that put your department too much at a...
No.
No?
No, what I'm asking for, the, you know, like I said, 3 or 4 months, and then it could be
right,
extended out, is... You know, we just started that 7 day a week, and you know, April, May, June, July, and August, those are all the months where, you know, any help.
But my hope would be to put this off a week and vote and move forward whichever way next week with a little bit more financial information.
We'll bring it back.
Okay. All right.
But you're not done.
No. So moving on to the next item. Okay. I'm proposing a change to the park code, an ordinance, and I've attached a draft, and it's an early draft, and already, you know, as I mentioned in the cover, she that consulted with our insurance authority, WCIA, and also our city attorney. And our city attorney has already given me some good comment back on the draft. So it's going to, it's nothing too substantial. Anyways, get back to the gist of this, is that proposing that we amend one section of the Parks Code to grant an exception to allow for state liquor board licensed beer and or wine gardens in conjunction with an approved special event permit, which is also in the city code that we have in existence for some special events within the parks. And I noted in the cover sheet here that we fielded requests for this sort of activity in the parks over several years for a wide variety of different types of events. Whether it be one thing in the past, we had a summer fest, which was an outdoor festival of music and sports and things for kids and children and stuff. The last 2 years, we've had a beer garden adjacent to Lake Ty Park for an event, so it was, meeting the spirit of the code and all of that. It was not on the park property, and we didn't have any issues with that as far as a beer garden had a special event. It was at the two wakeboard events, and then last year, the pro tour, we also had a beer garden as well adjacent to Lake Ty Park, so we've had three of these at events, and then we also had another event that was with the operators of the Evergreen Speedway. We had a beer garden as well on city property, but again, it wasn't in the park. And what I'm proposing is for staff, of the benefit of amending this code here, it will allow us, through the special event permit process, better flexibility for, citing where the appropriate place for something if we're considering having a beer garden at a special event. Say for, basically on a special event permit, and I didn't really get into detail as far as explaining that process, is that all the departments weigh in on a special event that's proposed. So say like police, fire, parks, public works, the engineering, they all weigh in on it. They can approve, condition a permit, say, move this here, don't have this, have that. So by putting it into the special event permit process and amending the code to allow it on the park property, we can run it through there. And as I said before, it's I believe it'd be a good thing for events and may open up in the future, which is very common in other parks and other communities, like a wine garden, a beer garden, say a music festival, things like that. You have the cover sheet. I'll take any questions. Comments?
Yeah, we do. Councilmember Williams.
I'd like to make a motion to direct staff to prepare a final draft of park code amendment and schedule for final action at City Council's business meeting.
Second.
Okay, motion's been made by Councilmember Gehring to direct staff to prepare a final draft of park code amendment and schedule for final action at next City Council business meeting. Been made by Councilmember Williams, seconded by Councilmember Gehring. Councilmember Ketterbeck.
Mike, I just have one question. This makes sense to me. Is this something you run through the park board? Do they have any discussion around an issue like this?
Are you talking about the special event process that we're
just
proposing?
The park board, the pros and cons of moving in this direction, and is this a topic that typically the park board looks at or no?
Not typically. I mean, they serve at the pleasure of the city council, so if the city council were to want to direct them.
Thanks.
Okay, anything further? No? Okay. Then we'll take a vote on the motion. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. All right. And we'll look for that next business meeting. Thank you, Mike. Council, I want to apologize. We had an item that doesn't look like we got on the schedule or the agenda tonight, and that is with regards to the agreement with Next Court. And I'd like to ask for your indulgence to allow for Jeff to give some background on it. We're just a couple things that we're looking to gain from council.
So the resolution that you've got in front of you, it has to do with the purchase and sale agreement with Monmac, better known as Next Court. We, next quarter, ran into an issue when reviewing title documents. The series of surveys, there was some confusion over the surveys that were done. The city transferred to NextCore that were done for First Western. And First Western had proposed some lot lines that don't really exist. However, they're on the survey that we transferred to them. They've asked for a two-week extension, roughly, to the title section for their opportunity to review title and to come back. So it really doesn't have too much to do with the deal. Well, in fact, it has zero to do with the overall length of the deal or pricing. It's just more of an internal adjustment to the time frames. The additional language I asked to be placed into this agreement is to authorize the mayor to sign additional changes to the purchase-sale agreement that don't have impact to the overall pricing, major deal points of the transaction. I anticipate we'll probably run into another little bump like this at some point during the next 6 months, and I think this is just good policy to move forward and give the mayor the ability to designate, authorize these changes as they come up. Any questions?
Sounds very great.
Thank you. So essentially they're asking for, do you say a two-week extension?
It's roughly, I believe April 9th is the deadline right now for them to accept or reject title documents, and I believe the extension's been granted to the 27th. Is that?
Oh, there it is. Okay, thanks. I was just looking for where it said that, so section 2 title. Gotcha. Okay. So essentially that's what they're asking. That's what this taking action tonight, essentially saying, okay, you can have to the 27th.
That's correct.
For title-related stuff. Okay. Thank you.
So the recommended action tonight would be three part. One, a motion by council to waive council procedures to accept the resolutions first and final.
Not for resolutions, just to straight down the resolutions.
I'm sorry, then council has
to add to the agenda.
Oh, to add it to, yes. Oh, simply to add agenda. Yes. Oh. So a motion would be, I'm sorry, we went forward without getting a motion to add this to the agenda. So
moved.
Right. Motions are made by Councilmember Cutback, seconded by Councilmember Camp to add resolution and amendment to the agreement for purchase and sale to the agenda. No need to comment, I guess. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. So now we need a motion to approve resolution number 2012-011.
So moved.
Second.
I'll have the city attorney read the official title of the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Resolution number 2012-011, a resolution of the City Council of the City of Monroe, Washington, authorizing certain amendments to the Monmouth LLC agreement of purchase and sale.
Any other questions for Jeff on that? Okay, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Jeff, what's the motion on this one?
The resolution number?
No, this is just the agreement.
That's just the agreement for you, sir.
Okay, thank you very much. All right, we're good. All right, great. We'll go around 1 to 7 here. Council member reports, Council member Gary.
I did attend the Snohomish County Tomorrow meeting. I seem to be snake bit. Every time I go, something happens to one of my vehicles. And when something happens to a vehicle, someone broke down, I get a new engine in my car now. That's not my report, though. Although it is frustrating. The affordable housing is going to be coming back to us, and we will see at some point we'll need to have a discussion with regard to that, the interlocal agreement. With the county, with us, with regard to those kind of policies. We've seen it before, kind of in the last couple of years. We've talked about it a little bit back and forth, but sometime in the next few months, that should be coming back to us, each city and the county being asked to, you know, participate or not, adopt, you know, this kind of thing for the town. So that was the extent of action related to the city of Monroe.
Thank you. All right, thank you. Councilmember Goodman?
Nothing.
Councilmember Williams? Councilmember Camp?
One item. A few weeks ago, I was fortunate to attend the 25th anniversary of the Housing Board. And I just wanted to commend Mr. Saxon giving a very, very well prepared explanation of the impact of housing hope on Monroe and Monroe's benefit that the drive by. Just point that out. Thank you. Good job.
Councilor Davis.
Councilor Davis. Just one thing, in terms of a community thing, the Monroe Public School Foundation held its auction on the, it was my son's birthday, the 23rd. And limited attendance, we did a different approach this year. I do serve on that board. And we had it at the Oak Creek or French Creek Banner Winery, and they raised over around $32,000 for scholarships for Monroe kids. So it was a great event. And I just thought that people should know. Sue Skilling is a name that may be known. Fantastic job putting that together for us. She's great.
Yeah. Good. Wonderful. Thank you. Councilmember Hamford. I'm sorry that I missed the housing hope, but I was a guest judge at the high school talent show that night. We're a little spread out, but all doing good and have fun. Any additional staff reports this evening, Jeff and Mike?
Just a reminder, this Saturday is Monroe Egg Hunt, Lakeside Park. So 9 a.m., all the activities start, and the hunting starts at 10 a.m. And there's so many groups, I can't even begin to start, but you can see on the website that are contributing, sponsoring the event. And the five-day weather forecast looks good so far.
The Saturday looks good. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Chief, anything? Paul, anything? Right? City Administrator Brendel.
I just want to point out that in Council Stack Papers, there's a couple kudos in relationship to the great job that our planning and permitting staff team do. That's good news. The draft agenda for April 10th, 2012. Under announcements and presentations, we have confirmed mayor's appointment, new ethics board member. Public hearings, transportation benefit district. We'll have a final action on there in regards to the parks maintenance position. Then under study session, we have first year field comprehensive plan amendment. Number two, East Monroe comprehensive plan amendment. Number three, discuss extension of senior center ground lease. We have department reports and the draft agenda for April 17th. Additions or deletions.
If you look, since you look this way, we're going to move study sessions 1 and 2 to the 17th.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
1 and 2 to the 17th. Anything else on the agenda? Councilmember Gunnell, sorry, you had
a question. I forgot one. I was reminded because when Mike was speaking, but on April 14th, Sky Valley Little League uses our facilities there, has their jamboree coming up. It's their kickoff. And we just were able to secure, and this hasn't even been announced internally within the Little League, but Dave Valley is going to come throw out the first pitch for us and then do some autographs for the kids. So those of you that don't know Dave Valley is a great catcher for the Mariners and now the broadcast and analyst, and he'll be going straight to Safeco after he's done with us, but we need good weather now, Mike. If you could make that happen, that'd be great. So anyway, come on out.
My last thing is that the first Miss Sky Valley, what are they called? Beauty pageant is taking place the 7th. And let's judge. I'm looking forward to it.
No comment.
Yeah. So if anybody's interested, it's at Frank Wagner from 10, I think until 3 p.m. on that day. So that was fun. Actually, this really is a great opportunity because there are scholarships that are involved in the process And if he hasn't seen the article on the Sky Valley in the Monitor a few weeks back, he might look into the archives. It really is something unique that Monroe is starting this year, and I don't know that they've done it in the past a long time ago or not. I can't remember if it was here in Monroe, but they are starting that up here again this year, All right. I think that is all for this evening, unless there's anything further for council. Now with that, we'll take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. Motion's been made by Councilmember Hamper and seconded by Councilmember Gamble to adjourn. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Say no.
That was it.
I don't need to read.